Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And of course, I'm here with our ever faithful tech guru and producer of the show, Brian Sant.
And overworked.
Well, not on the NJG. You're talking in your day job, right?
Both.
I don't overwork you.
Not lately.
Please. Well, I know you've been really busting hump on the whole New Orleans thing, so I want to remind people, if you go to our homepage on njghs.net, you know, vote hell yes, hell no if you're interested in going to New Orleans in the end of May. If you're really serious about it, shoot Brian an email so he can start taking down names and
number
faces
of people and
yeah, all that stuff. And he's Brian. Oh, it's just Brian, right? Brian, yeah. B-R-I, like brain transposed, B-R-I-A-N at njghs.net.
Yeah, luckily we haven't had to change my last initial.
Well, we don't use it on that.
Well, not for me.
Right.
For you, but if I had my last initial, I wouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, well, that's why, I mean, because you're the only Brian that has an email address at NJGHS, so that's why. But mine, because there's Laura Lindemann, so, and I had given her Laura L, so I took Laura H.
Mine would have been weird, though.
What?
You couldn't really say, some people looked at it and wouldn't be
Brian's.
Like, Brian's.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got some good stuff going on for New Orleans.
Yeah.
Working, talking to people. Working with a woman called Bloody Mary.
Yeah, that sounds it. Now, that was Jeff?
Jeff Belanger actually turned me on to her and said, hey, you know, tell her you know me. And unfortunately, right now, she's not that talkative. One, because it's kind of busy down there. And two, she thinks she might have pneumonia or bronchitis. So I said, you know, it's not a rush priority right now. You know, get over what you got, and then we'll talk again.
Wow, yeah.
But she does tours, investigations. I was looking at her website. She has, like, a haunted dinner or dinner tour or something like this.
Oh, nice.
There's a whole lot of stuff on there.
And what's the website?
Oh, you would ask me that, wouldn't you? I'll get that later in the show.
Okay.
Also working at, and this is no guarantee because they're not responding to me, Jeff Belanger also turned me on to the Castle Inn, a haunted bed and breakfast down in the French Quarter.
Oh, nice.
Supposedly also very close to Anne Rice's house.
Ooh.
Actually, from what they say, it's like 4 or 5 houses down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to get some information from them to maybe just rent the whole bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people want to investigate during the night, go right
ahead.
Is
it supposed to be haunted?
Yes.
Oh.
If you do a search on Jeff Belanger's website, ghostvillage.com, you will be able to find the information on it.
Cool. Well, that's good.
So hopefully this will be a good trip, depending on if we get enough people.
Yeah, I mean, because you have to hit that. But see, if you do the whole bed and breakfast thing and you want to rent that all out, how's that going to impact the block of rooms at the Holiday Inn?
Well, if we decide and the Castle Inn gives me a decent rate, we'll just stay there the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll just stay there the whole stay. We won't even use the Holiday Inn.
Okay, that would be cool. Sounds fun.
Well, apparently the people, I don't know if it's a group or whatever, that own the Castle Inn, just hold the button down and you can turn the heater off.
I'm just gonna kill it.
Yeah, man. Last time she's bitching. It's so cold in here. Can't we have heat? Oh, it's too
hot
in here.
You're just so hot. Oh, I'm overcome.
Well, apparently these people own a whole bunch of bed and breakfasts. Even one's called
the Castle Inn people.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the one's called the Bordello Inn.
Nice.
Well, apparently each room they have like a different style of a different madam that used to be famous or whatever.
Wow. Huh.
Interesting, but we'll see.
Yeah.
No promises.
Well, at least you're doing your homework. I'm impressed. No.
Until I throw it on to you.
I'm waiting. Wow, so that's good. So, people, make sure you email Brian if you're serious about going to New Orleans in the end of May. And make sure you stop by the site, our site, njghs.net, and vote for that. So I had a pretty decent weekend, quiet. I had the kids this past weekend. It was pretty quiet. Yeah. How was your weekend?
Between work and I had to do a party birthday party with my stepmother. At
oh, yeah, I saw house. Your little IM. I'm like, ooh, Brian's starting to leave his status thing so exact. Working, relaxing, putzing around apartment, off to do stepmom's party. I'm like, oh, my God, he's, like, so clued in now to leaving his... Who are you trying to impress?
Nobody.
Are you serious? Because I figured you were waiting for some kind of woman to, like, reach out to you or contact you, and that's why you were trying to leave such specific IM statuses. No?
No.
Then, what's the Scranton deal? Is that upcoming or that's this weekend. Coming weekend? Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
Is that going to be?
Is that going to be what?
Not that it matters for me anymore.
People can't see you. This is a podcast.
I just gave him the flirty eyes, like woo. Is it going to be one of those weekends?
Don't
or?
Know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Oh, I am so glad I am released. You have no idea. I'm like, even if I wake up like to within an inch of my life exhausted, I'm like, yeah.
Now she can stop being so bitchy.
Yeah, have you noticed? Little spring in my step. Yeah. No, I mean, I wasn't bitchy.
No, of course not.
No, seriously, I thought I handled that pretty well.
Well, you know it's bad when you can't keep a straight face.
What? What?
What?
What?
Hey, I got nothing else to say on that.
You thought I was... All right, so maybe I was a little... anxiety-ridden, little...
bitchy.
Yeah, all right. Well, made for good fodder on the podcast.
I know. Now we got to figure out something else.
Yeah, what else can we piss her off with? Take a number, let me tell you. Just, you know, and I have to say, the last NJGHS meeting for the Northeast Division, I went up to that meeting, and prior to the meeting, I met with the team leader, Laura Lindemann. We had dinner. And, God, it had been...
So she is still alive, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Laura's still alive. She's still doing a championing job there at leading our Northeast Division. And the last time I had seen her was in July when we were at Ghost World Conference. So it hadn't been a year,
where?
But yeah.
Where at?
Ghost World Conference.
What's that?
So that was the last time I saw her was July 20th to 22nd, 2007. So it hadn't been a year. However... You know, that was a working weekend, so it was like, hey, you're here, great, here, do this. You know, it wasn't like we really got to sit down and chew the shit, I mean, chew the fat, so to speak.
See?
So this particular evening, I went up there, and we had...
Drinks?
No, because we were going to do the meeting next. So we went to a diner, and we just had dinner, and she had her heart set on all day. She told me that all she wanted was a tomato, bacon, and American cheese, grilled cheese sandwich type of deal.
Wow.
Yeah. And anyway, so we start talking, and I'm like, she's telling me, okay, this is what's happening in my life. She's, you know, kind of seeing this guy, like, oh, blah, 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 blah. So we got the whole, like, so I bring her up to speed on my
life. Does he know she uses analog?
Who, what?
Does he know she uses analog?
What's, oh, okay. Well, no, this is not that kind of guy. This is from the whole Warcraft thing that she's in. That's how they met, so he's coming, anyway. So not to get into her whole personal life, but long story short. She brought me up to speed in her life. Yay! Sounds great. I'm pulling for it. I hope everything works out. So I start telling her, okay, blah, 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 blah. This is my life. And she's like, well, wait a minute. Where did he come from? I'm like, oh, well, I met him. She's like, well, wait a minute. What happened to this one? I'm like, oh, well, he's gone. She's like, well, how did, what, but? I'm like, all right, here's a scorecard. Now let's run through this one more time.
Well, know? No. So, wait a second. Wait.
So anyway, let me just see. Because, you know, she left off back in the R days. Okay. Can't go into full names, but you know what I mean, right?
Oh,
back
no.
at Ghost World.
Yeah, but see, she would know all this if she listened to the podcast.
So, all told, we run down the scorecard. I bring her up to speed on all this
one
stuff.
Big scorecard.
Finally, she's like, well, it wasn't like a scorecard in terms of like a gazillion guys or anything. Like, I meant, you know, in terms of keeping score, like all the things that had happened
I know.
In my life, okay? Seriously, Chris, if you're listening, it wasn't like, you know, please.
Bunch of foul balls.
So I finally get done, and she looks at me, and she goes, you know, there is not a soap opera on this planet that could touch your life in terms of drama. And nope. And it's, isn't it true? Is my reality stranger than fiction by any stretch of the imagination, right?
Actually, I believe this is just all a freaking dream, and I'm going to wake up.
Brian's like, oh, thank God she doesn't really exist. I woke up. But seriously, I mean, and I said to her, I said, you know, Laura, I know even when I'm recanting this stuff and I hear it coming out of my mouth, I stand there and part of me is just shaking my head going, it's just bizarre. I mean, how does this happen? How, you know, I mean, if I've told you the people I've known, I mean, things that have happened, it's just, it's so screwed up. So anyway.
But thank you for listening to the Laura Hour.
So anyway, but it was really, we had a good meeting for the NJGHS Northeast Division. A couple members, diehard members, showed up. It was a pretty cold night, but it was cool to get to see them and, you know, and get caught up with Laura. So hopefully, and she's down for the September 20th Paranormal Intensive. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's signing up for that, you will get to see Laura L, Laura H, Brian, right? Hopefully Greg and
Brian's.
Greg. Brian's. But, oh, and speaking of, you know, like when we did the NJGHS 500, November 17, 2007?
Yes.
And we had Johnny Peso playing there?
Yes.
And people, actually, Aileen Makala, one of our members, and a couple other people really got into the Johnny Peso shtick, and followed them down when I sent out a Yahoo blast that they were going to be down in Garwood at the bowling alley. Well, this Saturday night, February 16th, Johnny Peso will be at the Town Tavern in my old hometown of Chatham, New Jersey. And they're going to perform at 9 p.m. So that's Saturday, February 16th, the Town Tavern in Chatham, New Jersey. They go on at 9. The tavern's located at 34 River Road, which I think that's kind of a long, windy road, and it almost starts out like some industrial, then it ends up being residential. So you kind of have to look for it. You can go to the website. It's Chatham Town, spelled with an E, T-O-W-E, tavern.com.
T-O-W-N-E.
T-O-W-N-E. Sorry.
Chatow.
Yeah. Chatham Town Tavern, town with an E, .com. So you can go there and check out the website. I mean, see what the directions are if you're coming from out of town. But, I mean, I can tell you this much. If you get on 24, that's, like, the easiest way to get off 24 at, like, exit 7 and, you know, come into Summit.
Just look at the website.
Yeah. You come in. You'll be coming right into Summit.
Or those of you who have GPSs.
Yeah. You know. And then you just continue past what's now Sharing Plow and loop down and around and hang a left at the traffic light that they newly installed. So you don't have to kill yourself trying to cut somebody off anymore. You actually have a light so you can make the left onto River Road. But yeah, so hopefully I should be there Saturday night because Saturday, God help me, my mother is taking me into the city to see this play called Xanadu. I vaguely remember the movie when it came out in the 80s.
It.
You know, with Olivia Newton-John.
I think it was 70s.
80s. It was so 80s. You remember with the stupid roller skating and the headbands and the colors?
It must have been like 80, 81.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, so I remember seeing it, like, you know, if nothing else was on HBO back in the 80s, or late 70s, early 80s, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was out, I think, when I was in high school, so it had to have been the early 80s. You're right, like 79, 80. In any event. So, she's taking me to that for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And once I have had that Xanadu indoctrination.
I'm assuming it's a matinee show?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Because that way, I can get back to Chatham on the train. I can decompress, you know, and fix myself back up. And then all I got to do is drive down the street, basically, from their house, my parents' house, to the tavern. And I will certainly need a drink by that point.
And I'm certainly won't just stop at one.
Well, no, because then I got to drive all the way back to Hackettstown. So, you know, bummer. But, yeah. So make sure you're there Saturday night to see Johnny Peso. That would be cool. Oh, and remember we were talking about Reiki? And how Dr. Dave Ester is now a Reiki master.
And he still advertises it.
Yes, yes. I took a little perusal at this week's newsletter. Oh, boy.
He always tries to throw it in there somehow.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I did come across a real Reiki master, and I took myself to a session last Thursday night. His name is John Rosenberg. He's PhD, and he's actually just finishing up his other doctorate in naturopathy, so he'll be a doctor of naturopathy as well. He's right in Rockaway, New Jersey. Has a nice little studio in the bottom part of his house, so it's, you know, very professional, and, you know, plus he's really good at what he does. He's, you know, had the mastership and the attunement and all that stuff, and he really, he doesn't, you know, rip you off price-wise, because I've paid like $75-$80, well, back in the day when I had it, and he charges $40, and the session runs from an hour to an hour and a half, depending on how critical, and in my case, I was pretty critical because of, well, I don't want to get into my whole medical history on the air, but I have some issues going on, and I have to say, he was really channeling a lot of energy and coming back to the one spot, you know, and so.
And how much is he paying us for this free advertising?
I told him, I said I was so impressed with the work and how good I felt, you know, and I slept like a rock finally that night. I can't tell you. I have like the worst. I mean, I take Lunesta, and I have to laugh at those Lunesta commercials. Oh, allow 8 hours for sleep before waking and functioning. Bull crap. Let me tell you, Lunesta, 4 hours max. Max!
So
that's
take
it.
Two.
Yeah, but what? Oh, I don't know. I don't like to fiddle with that stuff.
Well, hey, if you say 4 hours max, well, you take two.
Well, for me, it's 4 hours max. But, well, you know, I could talk to my doctor, maybe get the dosage increased. But then you start dabbling with all that stuff, and that freaks me out. So I don't want to do that. And, you know, in any event, this guy did the Reiki treatment. It was an hour and a half long. I made my way home. I got ready for bed, got into bed, and that I didn't know nothing until I woke up the next day. And anyway, so you can reach John Rosenberg. He's on MySpace. I forget if it's like Reiki Healer or something on MySpace, but you can call him at 973-328-1868. And like I said, he's right in Rockaway, New Jersey. So that's pretty cool. Jump in anytime, Brian.
Sorry, never been to one. Don't know a lot about them.
I didn't want the doll's air there. I was trying to grab water. My throat has been, like, on fire today. I don't know. Maybe it's something metaphysical. Maybe I have this burning need to, like, say something, and I'm not saying it yet, so my throat keeps heating up. I have no idea.
Well, we have still a bit of time to,
So you want to do the meeting announcements?
Oh, why not?
Yeah, what the hell. Okay, all our meetings start at 7 and end at 8:30, and they're free and open to the public to attend. You can also get these dates, times, places right from the homepage of the NJGHS.net website. So, okay, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
As usual.
All right, the Central Jersey Division meeting is going to be March 5th at the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. Northwest Division is going to be on February 19th, 293 Main Street in the Community Center in Hackettstown. The meeting topic will be Psychic Protection 101. Team leader for the Northwest Division, Dina Tirico. Team leader for the Central Jersey Division, it's Gregory and Sherry Irish. And then we have the Northeast Division team leader, Laura Lindemann, who has her meeting on February 28th in the Bogota Recreation Building located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. Again, if you missed any of these, catch them on the NJGHS.net website, and feel free to drop in. If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary. Located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment,
Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
So what do you do when you catch a ghost?
Burn that bridge when I come to it, I suppose.
Meet Irving Rehnquist.
So, do you still go for any young thing in a little skirt that'll take you?
You're not the sharpest tool in the shed, are you?
An out-of-work, out-of-shape paranormal investigator.
You've been giving me nothing, Irving. Your focus is shifting off this project.
That girl Dottie, she has a ghost.
We have something!
Can I come tonight?
Do you want to come on an investigation?
Oh, yeah. This is no time to
lose your head. All right, remember the strategy.
Try not to talk at all if I can help it.
So we split up.
Is that okay?
No, that is not okay. That means I'm gonna eat something that's gonna turn into a giant worm.
Mommy.
Or maybe I'm gonna look into a mirror and I'm gonna see something there on my face and it's gonna make me pick at it until I'm pulling my skin off.
You don't believe that crap, do you?
Hey, you're a ghost hunter, okay? You chase after ghosts and UFOs.
Irving Rehnquist Ghost Hunter. Series premieres October 31st, only at irvingrehnquist.com.
Okay, welcome back. Before we get to PowerShare, I'd like to clear something up for people out there, because Brian has brought this to my attention, that we're not getting the caseload that we used to get in terms of investigations. And I know it's kind of sad because we have a lot of new members who have joined up who want training, and some of them have completed their cemetery hunts last summer. And apparently, you know, which is great. I'm glad there's groups that are spinning off the NJGHS and, you know, really getting out there and doing the research, but the rest of you, I guess, have forgotten that we're not just a training organization. We are a paranormal investigating organization. So, yeah, we provide training to people who want it, but we also do the investigating, okay? So if you know of anyone who's having some disturbances in their home or even their office or restaurant, what have you, make sure they email Laura or Brian or the deadline, whatever. Just, you know, give them the clue to go to our website and touch base with one of us, and we can set something up to – and the investigations are free. We don't charge for any of that.
Nope.
You know? Obviously, we're not going to take a brand newbie on a private investigation, but a newbie who's completed at least two cemetery hunts, yeah, I would like to give them that exposure and that hands-on training.
Or someone who has gone into the training.
Yeah.
And, you know –
and the CPIs that we have. So, yeah, just bear that in mind. All you have to do is email one of us or go to our website. But, you know, keep your ears and eyes open in case you do hear of anybody.
Jennifer turned me onto this on Brian Hornois' page.
Is that how he says his name, or is it Hornois?
I think it's Hornois. But
or Hornois.
Whichever way.
Okay.
But there's a link to, I think it's on YouTube, the parody on Taps called Saps.
No.
I mean, and they do the whole, not just like a little two.
Really?
Oh my God, it was hilarious.
Oh, you have to send that to me. I gotta see.
Oh
that.
My, I mean, you know, one guy has a shaved head and a goatee.
Sass.
It's let's see, it's Jason Grant, Brian, and Steve.
Oh, and they parody them all?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's too funny. Oh, wow. So I'll have to check that out. That's pretty good. All right. So just remember, people, we do investigate, so, and it's free. So let's talk about ParaShares. Now, do you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter that you'd like to share? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net. For each PowerShare you submit and we read on the show, you'll receive one credit. You may use your credits to receive membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, and only one credit is necessary. Or you may save up to 10 credits and cash them in for a natal chart. That's a $75 value. And then that way, you can send me your birth date, time, and place, and I'll put together a nice full-color chart printout for you with the wheel and my handwritten notes and all that stuff. So,
when she finds time.
I've been doing, well, nobody's hit one yet, but I mean, I've been doing them all myself for people at work, well, where I used to work. Anyway, so that's the deal with PowerShare. So you have somewhat of an incentive. Now, our first PowerShare comes from someone who emailed the deadline at NJGHS and did not want their name revealed. So I can't tell you. Okay?
Anonymous.
Anonymous. I've been told I'm a sensitive. I'm sensitive to human energy, such as inward conflicts, smiling on the outside, pain on the inside. That's what she put in parentheses, she, he, you know. A salesman, well, I can say it was a she, right? I just can't define the person.
Say they.
For the love
of God.
Well,
it's a little late now.
Yeah, well, it was a she, but I'm not giving you the name. A salesman from a huge video store was looking at me from across the store. I felt it immediately, turned and looked at him instantly, getting chills all over, bad chills. I walked further away. Later, he walked by me without my knowledge, and directly up my spine, I received a deep chill. I looked, and this little man was staring at me as he walked by. I left the store. That was evil. I have seen a selection of ghosts throughout my life in all forms. A soldier at the foot of my bed, then again repeatedly waking from the bedroom. Repeatedly walking from the bedroom down the hall into the kitchen. So that's where she would see the soldier doing this thing. In the same apartment, a transparent cloud near the ceiling. That place had spirits. It was the apartments for the families of soldiers that went off to war. That particular soldier died, and his wife and daughter moved away afterwards. I found this out from an original tenant, an old woman that still lived there when I did. As a 12-year-old, I saw light on the wall. My hand would not block it. Breezes when the windows were all closed and I was home alone. Sudden smells of baked goods or farts when I was alone. I was frightened to death that age.
Oh, here we go again.
No, I mean, come on. There's something to be said for that paranormal fart.
We had talked about this. You're supposed to pre-read these.
I missed that part.
Yeah.
I missed the fart part, I admit. You know, I at least broke this up into, you know, digestible paragraphs, because she had it as one big, huge, enormous run-on sentence, so God help me. Anyway, now I moved into a house in Ocean. Not in the ocean, I guess she means a town called Ocean. That is not haunted, but it seems that spirits come to visit myself and my dogs. Now, dogs, there's the fart. Right? You always blame it on the dog. It's not a ghost. Anyway, I have one right now, which is why I write you, which caused havoc on us last night. Its presence. Spelled presence wrong, but that's cute. It's very cute. She spelled it like the gift you would give somebody, but I'll go with it. All right, its presence is outside the dining room window, easily debunked by it being a downstairs window where there is a basement door to stand on. But we have security lights, which never went on. I was feeling it, then seeing it, then my dog, who was in that room, kept on barking. This kept recurring all night. I finally closed up the house for the night and went to bed. Still, the dogs remained skittish all night. I have been hit behind my knees in this house when no one else was in the house, not even the dogs. That got me mad, so I yelled at whatever it was to get the hell out. That was that. When my last dog was dying, by my studio where he spent most of his time, there were spirits gathered daily. Dark spirits, vertical, about a dozen. On the other side of the house in the dining room, light spirits, same amount. The dark and light switched places once in a while. When he passed, they were no longer around. In a church, I was going to the ladies' room. On my way, someone touched my waist to pass me. I moved over to let them by. Nobody was there. The halls were empty, and it was during church service. I think that is enough for now. You see, places aren't haunted. I just see them, or they stop by. The only one that is bothering me is the one outside my home. He has been around for the last 3 years. Isn't it unusual for spirits to hang around outside the home? I wouldn't say it's... Well, it's a little unusual. Usually they're inside. Most things that hang on the outside are typically more in the elemental field, but interesting.
Different.
Yeah. Now, this next story also comes from Name Withheld. A lot of that going around. Oh. But it's a he from Michigan. That's all I can tell you.
Well, we just narrowed it down.
took place in Michigan. In the late 1990s, I worked the afternoon shift, 3 p.m. until midnight, at a gas station convenience store called Stop and Shop. I worked those hours for about a year and a half. I worked alone in this store on my shift. Where this store was located on the main drag, more in the country where the houses were far between. A store was to the right of it, but it closed at 5 p.m. Other than that, there was a house catty corner from this Stop and Shop store, and one house way down the road from it. No street lights, only the lights to where the gas pumps were. I worked for about 9 months before anything took place here. Then one night, near midnight, I heard the cans in the back room making noise as if someone was throwing them into a container of sorts. In between my customers that night, I went to look in the back room to see if anyone was there. I saw no one. So I thought maybe it was mice or something, and I went back to work. All was quiet. Then about 1 a.m., I heard the noise again. I just figured it was mice and kept doing my work. When my manager came in at 5 a.m., I told her I heard the noise in the back room where we kept the filled and empty cans from beer and soda. She said she'd call a guy in who checks for mice and bugs, and I went home. My manager called me the next day and told me the guy found no signs of mice or bugs, and that they could not figure out what I heard. There were no holes in the walls that anything from the outside could come in, so I said, all right. I went back to work a few nights later, and nearing midnight, I heard the noise again. Still didn't think nothing of it. I went to the back room to get some items to stock the cooler with. When I came out, there were 5 guys in the store. I smiled at them and went to the counter where the cash register was. One guy stood next to the counter with his back to me. He appeared to have something in his coat pocket that he kept in his right hand. They kept his right hand into. And by what I could see of him, he was Hispanic. He never spoke at all. And the other 4 guys were Caucasian. They got beer, chips, all kinds of snacks. One guy came up and brought some of the stuff, put it on the counter, and one of the Caucasian men told me that this was a robbery. I told them, let me help you get the money out, which I took out the whole drawer and set it on the counter. While I was doing that, I pushed the silent alarm with my leg. They told me thanks and left the store. The police came and a report was taken. I was off work for 2 days. I came back, and just before midnight, I heard that noise in the back room of the cans being tossed into something. I still was not afraid, thinking of what it could be, and did not relate it to anything. A week later, the noise happened again, just before midnight. At exactly midnight, the 5 same guys came back into the store, and I already knew what they were going to do, and I was alone, so I had to keep my cool. Yes, they robbed me again. And again, I used the silent alarm for the police and filed another report and told them that it happens right at midnight. I then went to the daytime shift after the second time I was robbed. Then a fellow employee, Crystal, not this girl's real name, was pregnant and went into labor. She had to leave work, so I went in to cover the rest of her shift. Got there about 8 p.m., and just before midnight, the cans noise happened again. And I thought, oh no, am I going to be robbed again? Sure enough, right at midnight, the same 5 guys came in the store, and the Hispanic man always stood in front of me with his hand in his pocket. He never spoke. It was always one of the other guys. The police came. I made out another report. I called my manager and told her to come run the store the rest of the night, or I was closing up the store and going home where I would be safe. She told me I had to stay there or be fired. I said, fine, I'm fired. I handed the police officer the keys. It's got to be locked up before you leave, I said. I've been fired. That's what he told me. I've been fired. You got to lock it up. I tried to find out why I heard the noise just before midnight, and the robberies were always at midnight while I worked. I never found out anything about the store, but certainly something warned me of what was going to happen. I saw Crystal after she had her baby, and she told me when she was robbed at noon twice, and each time she heard noises in the back room. Not sure if the manager heard anything before the robbers came in or not. 2 months later, those same guys robbed that same store a total of 6 times. And so, the police, in their infinite wisdom, finally staked out the store and they were caught. They were very polite robbers, as they always told me, thanks for helping them. They did that to the others they robbed, too. Well, it's nice to know. Thank you for making my day. I just held you up and
I'm sorry.
But now that's weird, the noise. Something in the back room, some ghost was trying to warn him about, you know, lock it up.
Well,
something's coming.
There's no cameras there? No. You know, robbed twice. You know, you think right there, okay, we're going to install a camera system here.
Come on. They didn't even have lights. They had lights on at the gas pumps, and that was it. I mean, we're probably talking like Oshkosh, Nowhere Land, you know, East Bumble. Yeah. Well, if you want a light, that's going to be in the center of town. Yeah, oh well. So much for that. Here you are looking for nanny cams and stuff. They don't even have lights on. Now I ask you, in the middle of such nothingness, why would you have a Stop and Shop open 24 hours a day?
They probably sell a lot of liquor at night.
I mean, think about it. Who the hell in the middle of nothing is going to go out there all hours of the night for gas or six-pack or something? That's why these guys were like, this is perfect. We can show up every Saturday night and rob the place.
The thing is, they were only robbing it either at midnight or noon.
But those are like, no wonder they kept doing it. They're like, this is just like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. It's so easy. You just walk in. Oh, can you give me everything out of the drawer? Oh, and I want these chips, too, because I'm kind of hungry. You know, all this grand theft and everything, it really gives me an appetite.
They robbed the place like 10 times for the police while they got out.
That's abnormal, not paranormal. Oh, well, we'll take a quick break.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is Intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting. Okay, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week's Haunted Trivia, you were asked, what is the name of the university where the ghostly time warp takes place? The answer, Wesleyan University in Lincoln, Nebraska. The C.C. White Memorial Building, which was torn down in 1973, to be exact.
Oh, I thought it was Frankenfurter's Mansion.
No.
Let's do the time warp again.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with this. Got it. No.
Hey, but that would have been a good answer.
Yeah, see? And it would have been nice if you'd had that set sound files to chime in with.
Well, you know, if I would have had this script maybe with a little more time.
Oh, right. You got it this morning before I left to go for an interview.
I got this morning where I'm at where.
This week's haunted trivia has a skill level of kinda easy. My apologies forthcoming to the Bylancics because it will be somewhat easy. Ghosts of the living can be witnessed. This may be a crisis apparition or that of someone who is in a coma. But what is the typical way that someone, especially one who is attuned, may witness the spirit form of a living person? Okay, so we're not talking ghost in the classic sense of a dead person's spirit. We are talking a live, breathing, walking around, driving on the parkway kind of person here and now who that you actually see their spirit form of. Be the first person to send the correct answer to Haunted Trivia. That's one word, Haunted Trivia, at njghs.net, and you will win a t-shirt, the NJGHS t-shirt. Now, guess what? Did I tell you we got Christopher? I just drew a blank on his last name. Quick, go to our website. What's his last name? He's going to shoot me. He's going to be like, God, it's not like there's that many of me. Anyway, go to the
go to the what?
The paranormal intensive.
Okay.
That guy. What's his last name?
Christopher Rondina.
Oh yes, Christopher Rondina. We do have him locked down and everything.
Got a contract signed then, huh?
Well, I haven't sent out contracts yet, but definitely within emails and in writing in that sense, the electronic sense, yes, it's all confirmed. He wrote the book Vampires of New England. He's done some other stuff, and he's actually doing his workshop on legend tripping. And it's very cool the way he wrote up the key takeaways and all that stuff. And he said he probably his other, I forget if he told me the name of it or not, but he has another book that'll be coming out around the time of the Paranormal Intensive. So you'll probably, people showing up for his workshop will get a chance to buy the book hot off the press. He'll be there to autograph it for you.
Nice, nice.
So,
oh, and just let everyone know, Bloody Mary's website is www.bloodymarystours.com.
Mary's, M-A-R-Y-S.
That is correct.
Tours.com.
Tours.com.
Very cool.
Very nice stuff.
How did you find that?
I just went and looked.
Okay, good. Well, make sure you send that to me so I don't forget to put it on our website so people can, in case they don't remember that, they'll see it on the page.
Yeah, not like people listen.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so make sure you sign up for the Paranormal Intensive 2008. It's on, now, the only bummer to this. And you know me, how I try to look at moon phases and Mercury retrogrades. I put a lot of time and energy into picking a date to have for one of our big deals.
But,
sadly, it is the same day. September 20th is the same day as the Mothman Convention down in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And you know what kicks me? As I was just watching an old thing of Hometown Tales yesterday, you know, Chris, my Chris, was passed out on the couch and, you know. So I figured he wouldn't see this anyway, and Trent and I were watching it. And it got to the part about the Mothman and how they have the Mothman Festival and everything. And I was saying, you know, one of these days I want to go to one of those Mothman festivals. So, oh well. And then Chris kind of woke up and gained consciousness for that few nanoseconds and muttered something about, well, maybe we can make that a trip someday. Well, guess what? It's September 20th, 2008. I just saw it on MySpace last night because I was checking out the Ghostly Talk guys' MySpace page. And they have all the upcoming events. And they're going to be, Ghostly Talk, Scott L. and Doug will be at the Mothman Festival September 20th down in Point Pleasant. So I'm like, bummer. Now I'm like, should I wish that the Paranormal Intensive in New Jersey tanks so I could still go? But that's kind of selfish. So I won't do that. I won't put that energy out. I hope it's a huge success and everybody gets out of it everything they want, all their workshops and stuff. And I guess I'm looking at 2009 to go to the Mothman Festival.
Well, maybe you should, you know, before you plan anything for 2009, maybe you should wait until they put out their date.
You know, and it never, well, because I always look for ChillerCon, because that's right here in the States. So I'm always very careful to not pin a weekend when they're having ChillerCon, because let's face it, everybody's going to go to ChillerCon and not to our stuff.
Really?
Yeah, duh. So.
Even you.
I wouldn't even think of, it never occurred to me to think of something down in West Virginia, which, and true, most of the people in Jersey would probably be like, well, you know what? I can go up to Hackettstown and see all this stuff. And then, I mean, you really have to be dedicated to a Mothman to want to go all the way to Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Because once you get there, that's it. You get your picture taken in front of the little stupid statue, and there's nothing. I've talked to people who have been there, and they're like, there's nothing to do. Well, you know, you're done.
The place we're having, it doesn't have a broadband connection. So maybe we would do a little video from down there. And they could just stream it to us, and we could put it up on a...
Oh. Yeah, right,
Tech Guru. You're freaking yawning already.
I have been, like, going since I woke up this morning. Which was at 6.
When?
Can you believe it? How long have I been out of work? And that was like, whoa, I slept till 6 a.m.
Yeah, but you know what? It's coming around again.
What, getting back up at 5?
Uh-huh.
Oh, if I land this dream job, yeah, I'll be back up at like 4:30, 4:45, and on the road at 6:30. But we'll see. We shall see. Well, you know. Anyway, so check out the njghs.net/paraintensive.html. That's where you can see all the different workshops, read up on the presenters and their bios, and register. It's only $25 a workshop. You get to pick and choose which ones you want. I do caution you. The dinner and spirit circle that's at night, it's $60 per person with Jane Doherty and the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. That's booking up. So
really?
Yeah, what a shock. But I'm warning you people, seriously, it is booking up. So if you want in on that, we do have a cap on that of 25 people. Whereas the workshops, we don't have a cap because I don't think it'll be an issue. We could seat up to 100, so we're not too concerned with that. But so you might want to check out the Parent Intensive and register online. I have been seeing some registrations come through, which is good. People are like, yeah, they're setting aside and the time and the dime, and it should be a good day. And anything else, Brian?
Nope.
Oh, what were you telling me about TAPS? Our Ghost Centers International. They had a little drama last week.
It was just a little bit of drama, so I was just like, come on, you know. We don't need the drama. I mean, the places they're going are...
Well, where were they last week?
They were in Romania.
Ooh.
Ooh, I know. At an old, fortress/church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the place was, like up on a hill. Like, the vehicles couldn't get up there. They actually carry the gear up.
Oh, my God.
And apparently this fortress that had only been, you know, taken once ever.
Really? Yep. So it's that much of a stronghold, huh?
Now, wow. Of course, you know, we're not there, so we don't know what feelings, what people see and all that stuff. But apparently Barry saw something pretty amazing down at the bottom. I think it was one of the...
Barry, he's the Irish guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down in the bottom of not like a whole big church, but a small little church.
Like the chapel or something?
Sort of, yeah. But he was looking through a door which was padlocked, and there's like spaces between the wood. And he said he saw something walking in there. And
oh, wow.
No way to...
Yeah.
He said there was a window on the other side, but they tried to... And of course, we're not there. We're not sure exactly what window, but the window they believe it was, no way you could get up there to climb in or something like that.
Wow, Romania.
Oh, I tell Don all the time, I'm jealous. I want to go.
Just to travel. You know?
No TV. I just want to go to those places. Yeah. Oh, and then Brian rappelled down a well, like 200 and some feet. Because apparently the story is the two prisoners who were there were said, dig this well and we'll give you your freedom, find water. Well, 17 years they were digging the well.
Oh, my God.
And finally, I guess either they hit water or something like that, and then they were like, we're not giving you your freedom. And they killed the guys and threw the bodies down the well. So he rappelled down the whole thing, 200 feet down.
Oh, my God. And did he find anything?
They looked at some stuff. It looked like bones, but didn't get any evidence. Personal feelings and stuff, but no evidence.
Wow. Huh.
But yeah, the places they're going. Oh,
I know. That's what I mean. I can't see this whole allure of Disney World when it's like, I would rather go to Europe in the heartbeat. I love it, you know? And it's like, why would I mean, true, I understand my father said, well, you got to see our own country first before you go schlepping over there. And
no, you don't.
But, you know, and I've done it, you know, but I like being over there.
You say, Dad, look, you go look at the places here. I'll go look at the places overseas. We'll meet together and swap stories.
Yeah, it's always been like my mother was always, you know, jet-setting off to Europe. And my father was like, oh, I'm going to get in my car and go cross country. And it's like, well, yeah, right. So we did that, you know, when I was a kid. And, you know, I should take my kids. I would love to take them on a summer vacation where we went all summer like I did when I was a kid, and they could just see all, because there's a lot of neat things to see in the United States, a lot of great ghost hunting too in the United States. But you got to remember, we're so young by comparison to Europe. You go over there and it's just like
thousands of years.
Yeah, and you've got these old castles and ruins and it is very romantic. It really is. When you stand there and you look at these castles and some of the ruins and things, and you're just like, wow, all the history here. And then you realize what little, we're still in diapers over here in the United States. We're little babies. I mean, it's such a young place, you know. But, well. Remember that old joke that they were, now they really did build a Disney World.
Well, I'm sure you'd know it.
Yeah. That Disney World, you know, years ago they used to say they're putting a Disney World in Europe.
Yeah, Euro Disney.
Well, no, now there is really Euro Disney, but this is way back in the Stone Ages when I was a kid.
Oh, God, right before I was born.
Right. So back then the joke was, yeah, they're putting a Disney World in Europe. They're putting a fence around Poland. But yeah, now they have Euro Disney, and there's a Disney over in Japan or something.
I think so.
Yeah, it's like... Oh, well. And that's the evil empire, as far as I'm concerned. You know?
But people still go.
I know, and I would love for my kids to see it, but it's just like, I can't go to Florida, you know? I was just talking to my friend who lives in Florida. Her name's Laura, too, and I was talking to her on Saturday. She's like, yeah, we got to get together. And I said, I can't ever come back to that state. It's just cursed for me. I have nothing but a major health crisis or
something.
Right. Well, for Disneyland, I could take the kids to California. That was the plan. But, you know, she and I were talking, and I said, and I know you don't want to come back up north because she hates it up here because it's so, for her, even our summers were still cold, you know. I was like, she's like, yo, it's so cold up there. I'm like, oh, God. So I said, well, why don't we meet halfway somewhere? You know, I could do that. I said, but I'm not coming down
Disney's
to Florida.
Disney isn't halfway.
No. But, you know, there's some nice, even like to go to the Smoky Mountains, I have. Would like to see that, you know. I mean, not that I want to be like schlepping in some cabin in Appalachia or anything. You know me. I mean, we're still talking like I need to be at worst.
Water.
At worst, I need a Hampton Inn.
Air conditioning.
I mean, this girl is not roughing it like Holiday Inn level or Howard Johnson's. God no, you know. It's like I'll just stay home. Yeah, she was talking about, we could get a cabin. And I'm like, a cabin? A cabin, maybe, if it's got, like, central air, central heat, fully stocked bar, Sven the masseuse, you know, but other than that.
Yeah, but if you went to Europe and you went to the really old places, you're not going to find all that.
What do you mean?
You go to some of those really old towns?
I stayed in some in Ireland, and you stay in a bed and breakfast. And, yeah, you need a degree in engineering to work that stupid shower. I don't know who designed this in Ireland, but, man, you Irish people, you have... got to get with the program. It's called knobs, and they twist and turn it. The water comes out. Oh, my God. But no, not in Ireland. In Ireland, there's this freaking box stuck on the wall in the shower, and it's got like a red button and a blue button, indicating, one would think, hot and cold. Wrong. It's the opposite. You push the blue, and the freaking hot water comes out. Oh, but that's the thing. You have to push these buttons and kind of, like, pump the water, and then there's a cord. And finally, you pull the cord after you've pumped this box enough, and the water comes out of the spout. It is insane. Now, picture doing this, okay? The shower that we had in Kennedy Castle was... You know when you look at a castle and you see, like, the tower... Like how, like, on the four corners, they'll have, like, a rounded tower going up the side of it. Okay. Well, in the back part of the castle was where this most haunted room was, the Geraldine suite that I wanted to stay in for Halloween night. Okay? Our shower, you walked into the bathroom. The bathroom looked normal. There's a toilet. There's a sink. There's flooring. Okay. You know. But then you turn to your right, and there's three, castle steps. Because all they did was, this was like one of those towers where it had the little skinny windows and everything that they could walk up and stick their little bow and arrow through and shoot out. Oh, yeah. So, luckily, with the modern times, they put glass in that little bow and arrow slit of a window. But all they did was paint the castle walls on the inside like this cream color paint. And basically, you know, like anybody else would have gone in and refinished it and built actual walls and put in nice tiling. Oh, no. They just went in and painted all over the castle rocks. So you're basically standing in this, like, 5 foot in diameter kind of circular tower thing. And then you're working these buttons and pulling this cord. And you're standing there freezing your butt off to get the water to come out to take a shower. And then you've got riding in the back of your mind that this is the haunted room. The most haunted. I mean, where the maids don't even clean it alone. They work in couples and in pairs. They'll go in and the one maid will stand there and they keep the door open. And then, then they're like going real quick to clean. And then they get the hell out of there. And so... And there's nothing more vulnerable than being naked in the shower and you're standing in this castle thing, you know? It's, like, insane. But, yeah, I'm telling you, that's so... I know what it's like to rough it to a degree, but that was worth it because it was haunted.
Oh, see, now that was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, that was roughing it in terms of the whole shower thing and having to push and pull these buttons and cords and stuff to get water, but we did have neat stuff happen... things went missing, which explained why we kept finding weird stuff when we checked in, you know, that you were like, why would someone leave this behind? The ghost is famous there for taking stuff from each person who stays in the room, so the next person checks in and finds it. And then it's not like you find it sitting on your bed. You find it like you open a drawer, and you're like, well, why is this in here, mm-hmm. you know? And why would a maid miss this? You know, she would have cleaned this all out, and it's very cool. But, yeah, I can rough it to that degree, but... You know, yeah, I know. I'm a wimp. I admit it. You know, I just don't. Not into the whole bugs thing. No, I've never wanted to camp. I thank God when I was a brownie, our camping weekend got rained.
What are you going to do for the next training session when you have to do it?
I figure out someone else to delegate to. That's why I'm in an administrative position, and I delegate. I take that to mean you don't want to do the next training.
You never know.
Aw, man. But you're so good at it.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to do it, too.
Oh, who wants to listen to me?
Why not? Well, hello.
You want to hear enough of me on the podcast when they want to hear you. And besides, we all know, tried and true, that you are the master at training. Right?
So?
I defer to your excellence.
Well,
and therefore delegate you to the task.
Yeah, but you know what? You need to get the practice because you never know. I could disappear tomorrow.
You can't. We have shows to do. Oh, well, we digress. But in any event, make sure you sign up for the Paranormal Intensive and vote and let Brian know if you're really interested in the New Orleans trip the end of May. And if you want the spirit dinner and spirit circle, make sure you sign up for that. And you know what? Truth to tell, if something happens where the para intensive during the day, we don't have enough headcount and I have to cancel that, but there's still enough headcount to do the dinner and spirit circle, I won't cancel that. I'll still do that and just, you know, not that I'm putting out that energy or that thought form that, oh, we're going to cancel this, but people, I do have to have at least 30 attendees per workshop, otherwise it won't fly, you know, because it's not worth it to the presenter to come all the way from a different state or what have you and not make anything to show for it, you know. So that said, make sure you sign up. All right, so stay tuned to the njghs.net website and sign up for our Yahoo groups. Get latest and greatest info blasted right to your email inbox. Thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
As always, our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish, Dina Tirico, and Laura Lindemann. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.